Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning comes from the central question of Luther's Reformation of the Church some 500 years ago. Would you read the sermon title with me from the screen? How do I become righteous? Based on our gospel reading from Luke 18, this verse, verse 9. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. I encourage you to follow your worship folder, find on the back of it that sermon outline as we consider our theme, How Do I Become Righteous? There's a story told many years ago about a man coming down from his cabin way up in the mountains. And as he was walking down the mountain road, he was all dressed up in his best clothing with his Bible under his arm. And a neighbor said, "Neighbor Elias, where are you going?" And Elias said, "Well, I've been hearing about the big city, some 2 days' walk from here. I hear in that big city there's a lot of free-running liquor, a lot of gambling, and some of them naughty shows." Well, the friend looked at him and said, "Well, Elias, why are you carrying your Bible?" And Elias said, "Well, if it's as good as they say it is, I think I'll stay over till Sunday." Now, we may smile or even laugh at that. But when we meet spiritual phonies or people who are self-righteous, it's often not very funny. This is especially true when the self-righteous or phony person we see is a person that's staring back at us from that bathroom mirror. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells a parable to some folks who thought themselves to be righteous, but treated others with contempt. That is to say, they were self-righteous, and they treated others like dirt. The issue of today's sermon is righteousness. How does a person get right with God and then live as a righteous person in their dealings with others? This is the very issue. If you were to ask, what is the whole point of the Reformation? Some 496 years ago, this coming Thursday, in 1517, the whole central question of Luther's Reformation was this: how does a sinner get right and stay right with Almighty God? How do I get right with God? The teachings of the Bible and Luther both declare there are only two options. You can boil it all down to these two options. Either I must do something and trust in my own efforts and goodness, or God must do something, and I must look to Him for His help and His mercy. In order to show us the two options, Jesus tells a parable. The two options are clearly illustrated by two men who one day went to the Jerusalem temple to pray. We read from Luke 18. Verse 10 says, "Two men one day went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector." It was the regular hour of prayer in the Jerusalem temple. This was a daily event. Jewish men went into the outer court called the court of the men. In Jesus' parable, we see a picture, a snapshot of two of the extremes of Judaism in his day. The Pharisee on the top rung and top level, and the tax collector on the bottom. The Pharisee declares in the temple that he can be righteous on his own. "I can do it," would be the theme of his life. He is a picture of full-blown self-righteousness. We read in verses 11 and 12. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Did you count them? How many I's does the Pharisee use in this so-called prayer? Five times he said, I. This man is really full of himself. Now, it sounds like a prayer, the words he was saying. It begins with, God, I thank you. But God is only mentioned once. And he talks about himself five times. Likely, he stood up in full view of others, right in the middle of the court of the Jewish men, with his hands raised up, drawing attention to himself. But what he did here was not so much pray as to brag out loud as he compared himself with others, and especially his low-life tax collector. The bottom line was that the Pharisee was measuring his righteousness by using the wrong standards, the standards of man's outward appearances, not the standard of God's word. Now, let me ask you, it's so easy for us today to point fingers and say, ah, that bad old Pharisee. But let me ask you, can we fall in to the same trap today? Yes, we can. This comparison game may sound like this. Well, at least I'm glad I'm not as bad as Joe. Well, I'm sure glad I go to church more than Mary. Oh, my family makes God happier than the Jones family. The Pharisee, who was a religious leader in his day, compared himself with a man on the bottom rung of Jewish society, a tax collector. Let me ask you, who is it for you and me? With whom are you tempted to compare yourself to make yourself feel more righteous? Now, the second man in the parable is described simply as a tax collector. Let me remind you about tax collectors. They were Jewish men who worked for the enemy Roman government. They were considered traitors by their countrymen, and they often collected more taxes that were due so they could pocket the rest. They probably had a lot of money, but they likely had no friends. It is this kind of man spoken of in verse 13 when we read, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If the theme of the Pharisee was, I can do it, the theme of the tax collector had to be, God, you must do it. He was completely opposite of the Pharisee. He also stood to pray, but off in a corner. He didn't even lift up his eyes or draw attention to himself. He knew his sin. He knew himself. And he struck his breast in an act of great humility and sorrow. His exact words in the Greek text are these, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner, not a sinner. He knew his sin was great. He knew what others in the community thought about him. He knew he had no excuse. He was not playing the religious games of the Pharisee that's so easy for church folks to play today. He came to God honestly, asking for help. Today, the church remembers Reformation Sunday. And of all Sundays in the church year, today is the day for us, for we religious people, to stop playing the games of the Pharisees. It's time to admit with the tax collector our sin, to face God honestly, to admit our need for His forgiveness and help. There's a large city in the USA that once had an elevated train. By the way, it was Chicago. In those days, this elevated train, kind of an older version of our SkyTrain, had a conductor on the train. And one of the stops this train made was near a huge, huge cemetery called Calvary Cemetery. The train did not stop there except by request, when a rider pulled the cord above them in the seat. You may remember the days of pulling the cord above you in the seat. Just after leaving the nearest station, the conductor would come on the loudspeaker and say, "Next stop is Calvary. Train stops on your request only. Anybody today here for Calvary?" This can be seen as a parable of our life's train. At all the other stations in life, our life's train stops automatically. Market Street, School Street, Sport Street, Broadway Avenue, Home Avenue. But to stop at Calvary means a realization of a need. Making that stop means we realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. The Savior who gave His life on the cross to pay for our sins. Today it's time to quit the games of the Pharisees, especially these self-righteous games we like to play at Church Street and Home Avenue. It's time to confess today that we are indeed sinners and we need God's forgiveness. It's time for us today, from the bottom of our hearts, to say the same words as did the tax collector: "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." The tax collector answers the question of today's sermon: how do I become righteous? How do I become right with God? Now, we, like the Pharisee, can try to do it ourselves, or we can take to heart the clear words of Holy Scripture that say, for example, in Isaiah 64, verse 6, "All of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous deeds are nothing more than filthy rags." Or Psalm 49, "No one can redeem his own life or give God a ransom for it. The ransom for a life is costly, and no payment of man is ever enough." The sobering truth is this: we cannot make ourselves righteous, but God can. Isaiah chapter 53, 4-7 says this. This is a passage you would normally hear from this altar on Good Friday. Listen to this passage, for it clearly tells us how do we sinners become right with the holy God. Listen to what it says. "Surely He took up our infirmities. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon him the sin of us all. Of course, this passage is talking about your dear and precious Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it is said in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is, made righteous. Jesus, God's Son, is the one whose death upon the cross and resurrection from the grave forgives our sin and makes you and me righteous in the presence of Almighty God. So that as we stand before Almighty God, yes, we quote that famous verse that I say almost every fourth sermon. We stand before Almighty God and we say with humbleness, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." He who was co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit gave up his rights in heaven to come to our earth, to be born a man, to take upon himself our sin, to die our death, and listen carefully, to exchange his righteousness for our unrighteousness. This great exchange brings to mind the final illustration in our sermon today, if you're looking at your outline. Reminds me of the book written in 1959 by John Howard Griffin entitled "Black Like Me." In this book, John Howard Griffin tells how he changed himself from a white man into a black man in the deep south of the United States of America in the late 1950s. This was a time of horrible racial prejudice and suffering. Griffin wanted to understand what it was like and what a black man in his day had to endure. So Griffin darkened his own skin with oral medication. He took countless treatments under a heat lamp. He used skin stains. And then he traveled through the deep south of America. His story is incredible. He was treated like less than a human being. There were buses he could not ride, washrooms he could not use, water fountains he could not drink from, stores that would not serve him. He was beaten. He was jailed. He was almost killed only because he was black. All because he chose to become like the people he loved so much. Check out this book, "Black Like Me." But friends, we have a Lord just like that. His name is Jesus. He gave up all of his heavenly rights to become one of us. He took upon himself the blackness of our sin. He took upon himself the abuse given to him by our sin, our death, and our enemy, the devil. He laid down his perfect life for our sinful lives. He took upon himself all of our unrighteousness, and in exchange, he freely gave us his righteousness. Are you righteous? Yes! Only because of your dear Lord Jesus Christ. This is the central teaching of our Reformation faith. This is the heart and soul of what it means to be a Lutheran Christian today. any person who joins that tax collector in the temple and declares honestly, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, for Jesus' sake, is righteous. To you today here this morning, who confess your sin and your Savior, Jesus speaks to you the same words he first spoke about the tax collector. I tell you this, said Jesus, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. My friends, may you today, with the tax collector, place your lives into the hands of your merciful God. And may you know that in Christ Jesus, your Lord, you are righteous. In the name of Jesus.